Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this quick shot of romance, we are doing an author spotlight, and I am welcoming author Gemma Westbrook / Janice Whitaker / Josie Watts. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Should I say it three times? Thank you.
I mean, it's like you have three personas there.
It is, right?
So we are going to be talking about the newest Gemma Westbrook release, Covert Operation. But before we talk about the book, let's get to know you a little bit. So you have been on the podcast before, but it has been a while.
Yes.
So if you have listened to Janice's interview and some of these are repeats, I apologize, but we have a lot of new listeners. So we're going to just roll with it. So what initially drew you to romance as a writer?
Well, so I was like every teenage romance, every reader who raided their mother's bookshelf, all the Silhouettes and the Harlequins. And so romance was always around. My mom reads it. My aunts all read it. My Grammy read it.
Mm-hmm.
My Grammy, she's 102 now. She actually read
That's
up until she,
exciting.
I know, right? Up until a couple years ago, probably, she was still reading romance.
Mm-hmm.
So my family used to have these big theme parties. And one year they had a Barbara Cartland party.
Oh,
So
really?
Like, yeah, romance has always been there. And when I was little tiny, I would pick up their books and open them up. And I would pretend like I was reading them, and I would say, "Oh, my precious, oh, my darling," because, you know, so like it was kind of inevitable that if I was going to write something, it would be romance.
Yeah.
That
That's
was
awesome,
it.
though. But it's nice that your family was so open about it, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have a family full of women who kind of they do what they want. And if you don't like it, you can suck it. That's kind
That's
of
wonderful, though, because I mean, romance as a whole still in 2024, almost 2025, still has such a stigma.
Still, how is that?
And it's so frustrating as someone
It
who
is.
has loved romance and who has a mother that loved romance, like
Yes.
who still reads it. Like, honestly, like my mom, like I give her book recs all the time, which
Yes.
I think people are surprised by that. And I'm like, yeah,
I
I know what
know.
I cannot recommend her, but like I
Right.
will take her Kindle and just start downloading stuff for her.
Yes. I will recommend with like with a warning. FYI, here's what's coming for you. But yeah, I think also a lot of the people who poo-poo romance don't even realize it's everywhere. Like Iron Man.
Yeah.
Every
That's
motion
the thing.
picture. Yes.
Well, but it's in the comics.
It's
It's in the like it is everywhere. It's in TV, it's in
it is
movies, it's in music, it's in
in
plays, like
all the action movies. It is everywhere. And
even like the like st like since Wicked's so big right now, like
yes,
there's a
a romantic
romance,
arc.
like
Yes.
yes, like there's
Yes.
it's everywhere.
And people love it. And if it isn't there, they know it and they don't like it as much. Like they can't tell why, but
Yeah.
it's a romantic arc gives a movie depth or a book depth. And then,
Yeah,
you
it
know.
is just it's so frustrating that it's so taboo still.
It is. It is. Yeah. Oh, I know. I'll be
So
reading my man chest covers proudly.
well, and that's one of the things that we've been talking about that really bugs me, that it's like people want the romance, but then they want the discreet covers.
They
It's like,
do.
I understand that in certain cultures, like
Yes.
they cannot do that. But if
Yes.
you are proud to be a romance reader and you're not in an area where that is an issue, like why would you not be proud to show the world what you're reading?
Yes.
It's just
Yes.
very frustrating. It's like it's a
I
double-edged
know.
sword. And it's
It
like,
is. Like, I really love this, but I want more than that.
but I love this. But
Yes. And it's funny because it's a different demographic than you would expect. Because, you know, you kind of have to, when you're an author, you're not just an author. right? You're also a marketer. And so you kind of have to know who your readership is. And the people who want the discreet covers are the young people. The women who are 40 and 50 and 60 and 70, they're like, if it doesn't have man nipples on it, I don't want it.
Yeah. I mean, I love some of these like alternative, like
They're
special
beautiful.
edition covers that
Yes,
are coming out. They are
exactly.
gorgeous, like the sprayed edges, but I just, it's just not the same.
It's not.
But it's like we grew up with Fabio
Oh my
and
gosh.
the bodice ripper covers and the step
Yes.
backs and all those
Yes.
things. And it's like, it just is such a, I mean, and it was so taboo like in the 70s and 80s still, but like it's just,
Yes.
it's taken on like a different
Yes.
life
Yes.
of taboo
I get
now.
it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. The first book in the Alaskan Security series, he has a shirt on. And on TikTok, the cover gets shredded.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's a dude on a cover, and the young readers don't, a lot of them don't enjoy
I just don't understand that because I
it.
mean, he has a shirt on.
He does. I know.
Now I have to
That
pull it up and
cover
look
is
at it.
awful. And I'm like, hey, girl, if you read it, I don't care. I
There are some
know.
awful covers out there.
There are. Oh my gosh. I'm like, you think this is awful? There are some wrong ones.
Let me show you one.
Oh, I love awful covers.
So, how do you handle romantic tropes and cliches to keep your stories fresh and engaging? Are you a fan of like the over?
Yes.
I will say, like, there's a lot of over troping and a lot of like over micro troping and things like
Yes.
that. Like,
Yes.
how do you
So
deal
I
with that?
think we sort of, TikTok really changed things a whole lot from a marketing perspective. And when things change, generally they tend to swing real hard before they come back to an equilibrium. And so we saw that real hard swing in relation to tropes and micro tropes and that kind of thing. Really, this past year, we've seen all the graphics that list out every trope, every micro trope. And tropes are fantastic. They are a quick, easy way for a reader to go, that's my jam. Because there are so many books, and you have to convey very quickly, here's why you should read this one. And that's what tropes are good for. But there are also those little micro tropes where, oh, he brushes her hair. And those really are, they got a foothold during TikTok because those micro tropes are what was really getting attention and selling books. So authors started listing more and more and more and more. And I was talking to my assistant a few months ago, and I'm like, girl, I'm tired. I cannot make any more lists. I'm done with this. I just quit because I was just tired. I was like, I can't even. I'll tell them a couple things that I think of off the top of my head, and there you go. And I
It's
think you're gonna,
definitely
yeah,
overdone.
it's coming back. I think the pendulum is swinging back, if for no other reason than I'm tired of making graphics.
I mean, that's fair and valid.
Yes. And I think readers are swinging back. They're like, okay, I don't need to know everything. I need to
Well,
know everything.
and that's the thing. Like, there's so many things given away in those lists. Like, it leaves, there's no mystery in the book when
Yes.
once you're reading it. Like, you know, like, yes, like you need to go into the book to read it to get the full like feel of it. But at
Yes.
the same time, it's like, well, you're giving me all the important pieces. I don't need to go into this book anymore.
Exactly. 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 So I think the pendulum is coming back to a normal where we're going to see the tropes sort of covertly listed in a blurb, where you can pick them up on your own. But I think leading with tropes is so important, just in general.
So for your stories themselves, like
Yes.
with across all three pen names, like
Yes.
there's a lot of typically a lot of emotional arcs in them. How are
Yes.
you able to balance the development of the romantic relationship with those other elements?
So it's notebooks. I cry a lot. I am like, oh shit, I forgot I had this side plot going on. I gotta shove some of that in here. It's chaos. It really is because I write overarching series. It's
You
my
do.
thing. And I have ADD, obviously. Like if you read one of my books, you probably go, there's something going on here. And it is, I think that's how it happens because my brain is constantly going, oh, remember this thing? It could connect right here. And so I tend to connect things in a lot of places and regret it, but by then it's done. And then you just have to roll with it. So I have notebooks on notebooks on notebooks and folders because I'm old, I guess. And I like the paper. So I
You like
have
to cross
actual
the things out and write the
folders,
things down. Yeah.
yes, that have legal notepad pages of all the information. And I just shove them down in there to try
Well,
to remember.
but for your Janice stuff and your Josie stuff, your overarching storylines are not as intricate. Like it's little things, but your Gemma stuff, like
Yes,
it's a little more intense. Like, is it hard to
it
keep
is.
that track?
Yes, it is. And so I have realized that my reader group is very useful for that. So I will roll and I'll be like, hey, whoever can name the most team members of Shadow gets this because I don't want to have to go look for all their names. Or whoever can tell me this, when this happened, I'm going to send you this because I don't want to have to remember it.
I mean,
Or
that's
look for
fair.
it.
You're not the
And
only
they do.
one, because I have
And the,
seen multiple authors doing that.
yes, that's why we do it because we cannot remember and we know you guys remember better than we do.
You're like, I'm just testing you, but
Exactly.
really, I need the information for
I need this
myself.
information. Yes, but it works. It's amazing. And they're so excited when they're the one who knows the information. So, but it is hard because I end up sort of with overlapping timelines. And so I try to keep things kind of general, but every book has its own timeline, chapter by chapter. So I know what day I'm on, where I am in the year. And so I get them out and I cross-reference. It's my least favorite part.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. But I will say, like, as somebody who has read your books for a while now, like, especially like the stories that follow congruent timelines, and like they're on top of each other, but they're not on top of each other. Like, they work, and not all authors are capable of doing that. Because I have read other ones, and it's like, that did not happen in the way that you're
It
saying
did.
it happened.
Yes. And it ADD is problematic in a lot of ways. It's frustrating. My husband has to find my coffee and my cell phone for me multiple times a day. But my brain is always going. And so it is very helpful in remembering sort of where things are.
The chaos.
Yes, the chaos, it thrives on it.
So, leaning into that, do you have any rituals or habits that help you stay focused?
I wish habits aren't really a thing for me, and it sucks. Like, I read a thing the other day where it was talking about how everybody says that if you attach a task to a habit, they're trying to help ADD people remember things. And they're like, well, just attach it to a habit, like when you brush your teeth. And I thought, I have to make myself remember to brush my teeth every day.
Yeah, I
Like
do too.
45 years into it, that's not just a habit. I don't just go do it. I'm like, I don't really have any habits.
Well, and you know how they say if you do something 21 days in a row, like you create a
Yes.
habit.
No.
Like I have taken thyroid medication for like 14, 15 years now.
Yes.
I
Yes.
still forget to take it in the
Yes.
morning sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
Thankfully, it's a medication that is not like
Yes.
life or
Right.
death. And if I skip one
Yes.
day, I can take two the next day and it all evens out. But 15 years of taking a medication and I still forget to take it.
Exactly. And it so it is frustrating because there's no habits to build here. I wish sometimes there was, but I've never been a smoker or a drinker, so I guess
I
I
mean, that's
don't get those habits either.
the good or the bad.
Yes, no good or bad habits formed here. Yes, so every
So,
day is different.
I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing. So
No.
you don't plan out your books
I do.
then?
So here's I do because I'm sure you've had enough authors that you've heard of Becca Syme and the Write Better, Faster thing. So
Yes.
when you do that, you take the course that gives you your strengths. My number one strength is futuristic. So I love to make plans. Now,
Okay.
executing them is totally different, but I love to imagine the future.
Okay.
And so I currently have a list that I made 2 days ago when I was very stressed out of the next 3 years of books. It's going to change. It's going to change. I'm going to make that list 500 more times because I like doing that.
Does it help you feel settled when you do that, though?
Because it helps me think of what's coming. I love to think about what's coming. And I love to make a plan to get there, but I'm learning that my version of executing a plan is not the same as the plan I actually think I'm going to execute.
Think that goes hand in hand with a lot of people, though, because like life and things never really work out the way that you anticipate.
And that's okay. Like this year is my just go with it year. 2025, we're just going with it.
Feel like that's a lot of people's plans. Well, and I saw something the other day online. I think I was doom scrolling on the TikTok because, I mean, what else do you do when you're over there? But it basically was saying, it was somebody I came across, and they're saying how usually at this time of the year they say like the next year's gonna like be my year. It's gonna be good. I'm gonna do all these plans. And they were like, I haven't seen anybody say that. It's like we all realize that 2025 is like doom.
We're all everybody's like, you know what? I'm gonna make some really good cookies next year. I'm gonna eat them. I'm gonna eat all of them.
But after I saw that, like it's true, because
It
usually
is
people are
true.
like, I'm gonna make like this year was like this, and the next year I'm gonna do this, and like I'm manifesting this, and like I haven't seen people picking like words of the year or like any like resolution stuff. It's basically like we've all given up for 2025.
2025 is just letting me be who I am and not trying to fight it and just going with whatever it is.
I feel like that's the f safest thing to do at this point.
I'm going to find some really good books to read and hunker down.
That's, I mean, we do have to work, so.
We do have to work. I do have to, yes, I have to write some books also, or there could be anarchy.
Yeah.
And Amazon will take away my pre-order abilities. And that is actually the only thing that gets some of my books written. So,
I mean,
with
hey,
ADD, you need the fear,
you do what
right?
you have. Well, and I'm like, for me, like, I'm not diagnosed, but I swear I have it. Like, I have to have a deadline. Like, if I don't have a
Absolutely.
date, I mean, granted, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing the day before or the day of, but like, if I
Absolutely.
don't
I'm
have
getting it
that, like,
done.
this is due on this day, it's not happening.
And something it has to be due on this day, and something bad has to happen if you don't make it. If I know, like, I can like smile and bat my eyes and get out of it, I'll still keep going. There has to be a
Their
consequence.
consequence. Yeah. I deal
And that's
better
my,
with consequence. Yes.
that's my pre-order privileges. So I
Yeah.
will never miss a deadline because I don't want to lose my pre-order privileges.
I mean, hey, you do what you gotta do. All
That's it.
right. So let's chat covert operations. So this is book two in the Alaskan Security Shadow, right?
So
No,
technically
book
it's
one.
one. When
So
I
this
was
is where the
trying,
confusion comes in.
yes, I was trying to get it set up, and Amazon and I had a fight when we were organizing the order, because the way Amazon works, when you break off a new series, they will not push the new book, even if it's in the same world, to readers. So, like when readers finished Vincent's book, if I had immediately branched covert operations off, nobody would have known it was there. So I kept it attached for the bulk of the time and then knew right before I was going to separate it out. So I put book two up for pre-order and I told Amazon it was book two. And Amazon was like, no, it's not. So then when I attached Zeke's book, they were like, oh no, this is book two. And I'm like, listen, I know what I'm doing. So I had to go in and fix it, but there was like a window where they were
Well,
stuck.
and Vincent's book is like a separate series, but it's not a separate series, but
Is,
you're leaving
yes.
it in the series.
I don't know what I should do with Vincent, honestly, because
Well,
he is written as a standalone.
but are we getting more ghost?
Yes. So my plan is to write Ghost as standalones.
But you could still bulk them up in a
Yes.
series, though.
Yes. To put kind of Ghost together, but as a series of standalones, you can sort of read anywhere. So, yes. I've got a that's here's one of the problems with ADD is it makes sense in your head. And then you
A
have to
lot of
figure out
things
how to
make
make
sense.
it make sense for everybody else.
Well, but also makes sense for Amazon.
Yes, exactly. Make sense for Amazon and make it to where readers can find it and not be like, well, what now?
So book one of the
Yes.
series, this is Zeke's story. We met Zeke a while ago because
In
he's
book
been on,
two.
yeah, he's been on
Yes.
the periphery. He's kind of an asshole.
Yes, he is.
But when we get into his like bread and butter, he's just
Yes.
really kind of standoffish. Like he doesn't
He
want to let
is.
anybody in. He's that guy he's a grumpy enigma.
He is, yes.
But he's hiding some pain.
Yes.
And then we have
Yes.
Savannah, who we met a
Yes.
few books ago also.
Yes. Yes.
She's a little damaged,
Yes.
but
Yes.
she's this like sunny spot at the same time that you don't
Yes.
anticipate.
Yes.
And she loves
Yes.
her dresses.
She does. And that was it, you know, I had set Savannah up because her sister is grumpy
Yes.
also. And I had set Savannah up as like the sunshine of their, you know, black cat golden retriever relationship, the sisterly relationship. And so it was sort of like, well, what happens when something bad happens to your sunshine, you know? And do they become all doom and gloom? And probably not, but they're also not what they once were.
Well, and that is one thing, and this is a little spoilery, and I'm sorry for that, but that is one thing about Savannah's character arc that I really enjoyed. Like, she went through a lot of trauma. She's dealing with that. But the fact is, she acknowledges she will never be the same person. And she wants everybody around her to realize, like, I am never going to be that person because of what happened to me, because of what I lived through. And that was the, like, so her and her sister Sadie, they have some issues in this book because Sadie's like, I like she want Sadie does not understand that Savannah is never going to be who she was before. And so like it caused some friction between them.
Yes. And from Sadie's perspective, it wasn't that she wanted that for Savannah. She didn't want Savannah to lose even more. And the guilt, she wanted Savannah to be able to get back to what she was, or it was her fault, Sadie's fault, that Savannah had lost. So it was figuring out how their relationship would be was sort of tricky, but it sort of made sense that that's how things would go. Because if they go through something terrible and you love them, you want them to be able to be what they were before for them. But then when it's your fault, kind of, that that happened to them, you also want them to be able to be themselves for your for you too, so you don't feel even worse.
Well, and the two of them had a really close relationship, like prior to this. Like they basically were e they were each other's person. Like they were very close. They had a really great relationship. And then when all of that stuff happened, I'm not going to tell you any of what it is because that is a huge spoiler. But when all of that stuff was happening, like there now is this disconnect. Like they're not as close as they once were. There's some animosity, which is valid. And there's no blame though, which I thought was a really important part. Like Savannah blames herself, Sadie blames herself, but there was no blame of Savannah to Sadie, which I think was a huge, like, important part of the story. Because I feel like
Because,
if there was any blame there, like their relationship would have progressed differently.
Savannah really, I think something that actually then helped her was the reasons she ended up where she was were kind of good. And she would never have sacrificed herself for the sake of everyone else. And she wouldn't have wanted her sister to do. That's, you know, at one point she says, if I had it to do all over again, I would want to do it the same way because of the good that came out of what happened to me. And for Sadie, she would do it all differently because of what it did to her sister.
Did you have a hard time writing Savannah's arc? Like with the history that you created there?
You know, it, I felt like as a writer, sometimes you feel really terrible. You feel like an asshole. You're like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Because you're putting your characters through what you are.
Yes, because of what the things that you did. And honestly, you know that there are readers who everybody is going to feel her pain. And yes, and so it, I cry in every book. Every book I write, I cry because there's always a little piece of me in the worst parts of a book. And so if I don't cry, then I know I'm not connecting properly to the story. And if I can't connect,
Then your readers aren't going
readers
to
sure
connect.
aren't going to connect. So generally, there's always a connection to the good parts. If it's I if somebody makes an inappropriate joke at the wrong time, that's definitely me coming through. But you also have to connect to the bad because the bad is sometimes the most important part. And so it I always cry. Always. And I sometimes my dictation, because I dictate a lot, is terrible. And that's always the worst part, is the dictation is terrible during that part because I'm like,
I guess you're a blubbery mess trying to get through it.
So it is, it's hard.
So Zeke's character, like I said, he's kind of a grumpy enigma. We find out like we eventually find out like his past and why he keeps himself separate, why he doesn't really engage unless he has to. But Savannah asks him for help because of what he did for like the other women of Alaskan security, and he doesn't hesitate.
No, that's how he self-medicates, honestly, is helping women feel safe.
Yeah,
And
and
yeah,
he's something though.
he is. He's, yes.
And it's one of those things, like as the book progresses, like we see Savannah like having her moments, like Zeke gets hurt, and the way she reacts to that was a lot, but not in a bad way. But then she's like, oh no, like I'm feeling things and I don't know if I should be feeling things. I don't know if I want to be feeling things. And so like inherently this book is, I mean, Zeke is a big part of the story, but a lot of it is Savannah's like growth and
It
healing
is.
and moving forward in a positive way. And
There's always always one character who is more. It's very hard to keep both characters equally balanced as far as their arcs go. And there's a line in there that I think really explains sort of Zeke's purpose. And it's where, she says, "You want to save me." And he says, "No, I want you to feel safe enough to save yourself." I can't remember what the line is, but I want to give you the safe space. I want to give you the space to save yourself. And that's really what he does for her. He holds that space so she can work through it. And she trusts him implicitly from the beginning. And for him, he has to cross a line he would never have crossed because of her. And he doesn't want to cross because this is no, I cannot do this. And he accidentally ends up realizing he had more than he thought he did the whole time.
Well, and it's one of those things where, like, with his past, he was creating this parallel, but also projecting. And so he, like, I think that was the big thing with his, like, he's projecting, like, what happened to him onto her and, like, how things, and I know I'm being vague and it's very confusing for
I
people who
know
are
it's hard.
listening right now, but I don't want to give anything away, but,
I
like,
know.
but he's projecting like his past on her and not intentionally doing it, but like he's seeing like how things fold unfolded like for him, like that it's almost guaranteed to happen for her that way, but she's not that same person. And so like he when he finally recognizes like they're not the same, like she is dealing differently, like it clicks. And then he's like, maybe this is something that I can do. 'Cause once he makes that decision, like dude is all in.
He resists valiantly, even in the face of her. Like, and that was what I loved. We talked about the tropes and things, but my favorite thing about this one was she makes the first move
She does.
and the second move and kind of the third move,
I mean, really,
and
she kind of makes all the moves.
she does, and she understands him. I think she's the first person who really got him.
Well, and that was something that he commented about a couple times where like she could look at him and she saw him, and a lot of people don't because they only see what he allowed them to see. But there was just something about their connection that like she could see past like that veneer that he portrayed, and like it unsettled him in a way that he did not like
No, yes, because she saw,
so much.
yes, 0 stars. He did not like that.
Well,
And
and she could read his moods, which he did
because
not anticipate ever happening.
he didn't think he had moods.
Well, this is
He
true.
wanted people to think he didn't have
Well,
moods.
'cause I mean, he wears black shirts, black pants, unless they're in the snow, and then he's like in the white, but it's like, dude
He's
has a
feminine.
uniform.
Yeah, he does. Darkness.
And it's not like shades of black. It is one shade. It isn't, it's not Grenache or like multiple black colors. It is like
He's
all
black.
monochromatic black, like black, nothing else. Will not veer unless he has to because he's in the snow of Alaska.
That is Zeke. He's the
So,
black cat.
mean, in all ways.
He is,
So, let me just say one of my favorite things about this book. Was your dig at Ohio drivers?
It's and my husband, he's worse than I am, but
Because so Savannah has been basically hiding for months now, and she decides that like she's going to move forward. She is done staring at walls, and Zeke could not take her into headquarters at one point because he had to leave, and so she rides with Elise. Elise is a terror on the roads.
terror in general.
Well, she is a terror in general, but you have to read her book to find out how big of a terror she is. But so Elise is a terror on the roads, and every single person's like, Yes, you take your life into your own hands when you ride with her. But they're like, yeah, it's because it's those Ohio drivers. And like you talk about like Lenny when she was driving and how Rico was like thought he was gonna
Freaked out.
die. Now, not every Ohio driver is terrible. There are some
No.
safe ones. But I will say Pennsylvania drivers are very similar.
Are they? Okay.
Well, because I mean, we're not far from you.
No. Yes. If you drive through Cincinnati at rush hour, you are like, what is happening? And I've lived here my whole life, so you kind of don't realize it until you're in the car with someone who has not lived here their whole life. And they're like, what
Well, so I
you?
grew up in the country
Yes.
and stop signs were just recommendations
Yes.
and because there was no traffic. I mean, seeing
Exactly.
like cows like roaming through like next to the road was not unheard of. Occasional cow on the road was also not unheard of. So last night I'm driving home from my parents' house and I'm like flying down the road and I take a turn and my kids are like, "What is going on?" I'm like, "I'll slow down a little bit." Because
Yes.
it's a back road where I
Yep.
grew up. I feel
You
very
know where you're
comfortable.
going.
There's,
Exactly.
yeah. I mean,
Yes.
the turn just showed up and
Exactly.
I just rolled
Yes.
right through. And
Yeah. Growing up. Yeah.
there's a moment of panic and I'm like,
Yes.
yeah, I guess
It's
I should slow
fine.
down.
Yeah, it's fine. When you grow up in the country, it's funny when you drive with somebody who didn't, because you see every critter within even remote roadway distance. People who did not, they are like critter blind. There will be a deer on the shoulder, and my husband won't see it.
Oh yeah, Michael, my husband was the
Yes.
same way.
So when we drive, I'm like deer, raccoon, possum, cat, dog, because you see them. And if you didn't, I didn't realize that if you don't grow up in the country, you're not used to that, because there's always animals trying to die.
Oh, there
Always.
is. I will say though, in my 41 years of life, I've only hit one deer.
Oh, that is good.
I mean, knock on wood, it doesn't happen again, but like only one deer. It was very traumatic in that moment,
Oh,
though.
I bet, because they're
I will
big.
say, well, and I was driving home from my parents. And so I was like a good chunk down the road, and they could hear me hit the deer at their house. That's how loud it was.
They are
I'm like,
big.
oh, yeah,
And in rutting season,
oh, it's
they
bad.
care about zero things. They will die for it.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. It's you see them everywhere around here. I'm like, oh, I know what time of year it
See, we
is.
live in the city compared to what I
I
used to live
gotcha.
in. Like, we live in a really small town, but like, we don't get a lot of wildlife like where we're at, unless we're like his parents live more in the country of like our town. But yeah, so we don't have to deal with like the running deer as much as my parents do, but. So you have a lot of characters in this
I do.
series because it's been a haul, because this
It
is what,
has.
book 15 in this
Let's
world?
see. So there are 11 in Rogue, because Pierce was in Rogue. And then we had Vincent. So he's 12. So we're on 13 in the world.
Okay, so 13. How do you keep your character straight?
It is weird, but so like I did hair for 20 years. So
You're good with names.
I'm terrible with names, but I will remember most of what you tell me about yourself. So if they're a main character, I will usually remember their name, but I remember their story. So, and I remember their book. And so I have years of trying to keep lots of people straight. And I had to remember their hair color, because ADD meant I very rarely wrote it down.
Well, and
So,
if you did write it down, you probably forgot where you put it.
I forgot where I put it exactly. So, names, I usually am not great with names, but that's again where you roll into your readers group and you're like, can whoever tells me the name of this character wins this? And they do. 500 people immediately. And I'm like, how do you guys remember this?
It's a gift and a
It is.
curse.
Yes. Yeah. Names are not my strong suit. So the key that I have discovered is in a book, you will see a couple characters who are more predominant because I can't run through everybody at once. So I have to kind of decide who makes the most sense. And like Elise was a really good partner in crime for Savannah because of the difference between them. And Elise would protect Savannah. She would sort of take her under her wing, but Elise doesn't, like, she's not going to coddle her either. And that's what Savannah needed. So Elise was sort of a natural partner in crime. And then for Zeke, I'm like, I honestly didn't really have a good partner in crime for him within Alaska
So
because
is that why you decided to break the
I had
series?
to, like, I'm like, he needs somebody. Who would he have? Who would make sense? And the only time I could think of that Zeke would have been allowed himself to be close to someone was before. And I'm like, I don't want to have to come up with a whole nother dude out of nowhere. And then I'm like, I also would like readers to read more of my books. So that's what we'll do.
Well, but the way that you tied the series together worked really
Yes,
well because, a little
good.
spoiler, like there's like talk of opening another branch. And so it's like you
Yes,
have a ready-made
yes,
like place and
yes,
world created. So just
yes,
plunk those like people down
yes,
there.
yes. So I can sort of still have some overlap in that general vicinity. So yeah, that was kind of my thought was I can bring in people that I already know, so I don't have to make up a bunch more people. And that readers, that so here's the other thing. It's always the characters you least expect. I knew if I brought in some rando dude to be Zeke's friend, readers were going to want him.
Well, you can. So Susan Stoecker always says you cannot name a
Yes.
character and not like give them a book. If you're
And
going to name
that's,
a character,
yes.
you have to be ready to write them a
That
book.
readers are going to come like it's going to be
They
anarchy if we
come at
don't.
you.
Yes. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot like come up with another series for this guy. He's never going to be able to be a part of Alaskan security. And I'm like, we're just going to do somebody who already has books. It fits, it works, and it tied into
Well,
the
what they're
ultimate
doing,
plan. Yes.
yeah, I thought it meshed really well, and it doesn't
Was
always
it?
work that way.
Total accident. That is the ADD brain going, I know what fits.
Well, and that's the thing, like, and it draws people to that world
It
itself, which
does.
is nice.
Yes. 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 So I messaged Julie and I'm like, hey, can I do this? And she went, oh my gosh, yes. And I'm like, that's cool because I'm like four chapters beyond doing that and I don't want to have to delete it all.
You're like, I'm just making sure that this is okay, but I'm
Just,
gonna do it
yes.
anyway.
It's more of a forgiveness than permission situation we're
I
in
mean,
right
that's kind of how I
now.
roll.
Yes.
I live my life with forgiveness.
Exactly.
So, what's next?
So next up, and it's this really isn't a spoiler because nobody even knows the guy who's next until you read Zeke's book. And the minute you meet him, you can, if you've read any of my books, you know he's who's next. So it's Maddox, and he is with a girl character who makes her first appearance in this book. And so I'm excited because I sort of have everything set up by there's a bonus epilogue that if readers get it, they'll be like, oh, I see what's coming. So, yes. So Maddox is next. He ends the book in a fun way.
In a fun way.
Fun way.
He's kind of in limbo at the end of
Yes,
this
he
book.
is in limbo and he is sort of one of Savannah's new best friends.
Well,
And
she claimed him. Like, he
she
doesn't have a
did. He,
choice.
no, he has no choice. And so I sort of love what I love this for him. And after him is Luca. And a lot of people are very excited over Luca. somebody thought that the next book was going to be him, but Luca will
Honestly,
be
he
next.
wasn't in the book enough for it to be
He
him.
wasn't, no. And I kind of did that on purpose because if you put someone in the book too much, readers get very excited. And then I feel bad because I'm like, no, he's
So is
so.
the next Gemma book the next book, or is there a
Yes.
Janice book or a Josie book in there too?
So the next book is a Gemma book, but
Okay.
it so in that world, the next book is a Gemma book. But the next book I have coming out is actually not even up for pre-order. It is a Janice book that's coming out
Ooh.
in January.
Okay.
Yes.
See, this is where you have to keep track of Janice, Josie, and Gemma.
I do. And that's why I have a 3-page book plan so I can get to the point where I rotate through them equally. Yes, that's my
Is that
ultimate goal.
something that you enjoy, like taking yourself out of like the
Yes.
Gemma headspace and going back into
Yes.
the Janice headspace and then rolling
Yes.
into the Josie headspace?
Yes. And it's again, probably the ADD. Usually by the end of a book, I hate everybody. I don't care what happens to the next guy. Like Maddox, I'm like, you know, sorry. I don't really care about you right now. I'm over it. Everybody's boring. It's not exciting anymore. And so I'm ready to go hang out with new people. So I had to find a way to make it make sense for readers, the different things I had going on. And that's why there's the pen names. So readers know what they're getting.
Well, and as a reader, like I appreciate that because there are some authors who like you, I don't need that from them. Like there's
Yes.
enough similarities in the book
Exactly.
structure that like it's not a problem. But with your books, like there's such a vast
Very
difference
different.
in like
Very different.
not
Yes.
even just the structure of the book, but the subject of the book. Like your
Yes.
Janice ones, like there's no suspense. Like your
No.
rom-coms, there might be a little
Yes.
bit of like chaos and mystery in them, but
Yes.
like the suspense element is
Is
very
not there.
suspended.
Yes. And that's one of the reasons that I picked the tie-in that I did, because that particular world is more suspenseful. The Lost Boys world that ties in. So, because I knew I couldn't tie in like my cowboy books, that would be,
That would be a
yeah,
weird one.
it would be a weird one. Yeah. So, I don't, it would be frustrating for a reader to pick up, to love my Gemma books and pick up one of my cowboy books and be like, isn't anybody going to get shot? I mean, technically, somebody does get shot eventually,
But
but
it's a
it's not
different
the
kind of
same. It's
shot.
a different kind of shot. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sitting and chatting with me about covert operations.
Thank you for having me and for reading it.
Of course, it's always a delight to talk to you.
I know I'm
And
so excited whenever you're at a signing that I'm at. I'm like,
it's just I love seeing authors that like I have good relationships with, and it
yes,
just makes me so happy.
it is. It's so fun.
But for those of you listening, you can get Covert Operations. It was available December 27th. It is available in Kindle Unlimited. So go ahead and just download that, and you will not be disappointed. So there is an overarching storyline, but I will say this one, like you can jump in. You did not need to read the other stories to get that because there's like you get little snippets of it, but it's not enough that you need to read Vincent's book because it ties into Vincent's book, it ties
Right.
into Sadie's book, but it's enough of a standalone that like
Yeah.
you can just jump right in here. But
That
I
was
will
my
say,
goal.
you need to read the first five books because Pierce and Mona are my favorite, still my favorite, and I
They
just
were
love me
so
some Pierce and
fun.
Mona.
I loved Pierce and Mona.
I
They're
do
so funny
too. I
together.
love them so much.
Yes, I loved her. She had such a great arc. And so did he, honestly. That chair scene still.
Yeah. Well, I just love the plants.
Yeah.
Like,
Yes.
he just does so many little things
Yes.
to try and like make her happy,
Yes.
but it is not the right thing. But
Always
he's just
wrong.
so sure of himself. And
Yes.
so, yeah, I just think
Yes.
that is the
Yes.
funniest thing, the plants. So if you need to know what I'm talking about, just go read the original series, because those ones you do have to read in order. But Pierce, who is the owner of Alaskan Security, is kind of a bumbling idiot, and
He
it's
is
delightful.
hilarious. Yes, he's hilarious.
He's not supposed to be funny, though.
No, nobody
And I
is.
think that's the thing. Like, he is a really serious guy and he is not supposed to be funny, but there are things that he does and you're like, oh, honey, what are you
And
doing?
yes, and things that he says, yes. Oh,
But
I
don't
can't
worry,
tell.
Mona puts him in his place. She is
Yes.
subtly strong.
Yes.
She's a fierce.
She is. Yes. Sneaky fierce. She's
Yeah.
funny.
All right. Well, until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.